morning, Rhema. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call you. Something happens. Then give me a clean heart so I can serve you, God. So there's nothing that will separate me from you, God. We're going to go to Matthew 16 and 19. One verse. Wait on you, Pastor. Amen. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen for the reading of the word. Have you ever been locked out of your house, locked out your car, or didn't have access to your employer's parking garage or lot, or couldn't enter the building or your work area? Have you ever been denied access? I've had all of the above happen, and it's not a good feeling. For my home, I have given spare keys to a couple of my family members. In the event I am locked out, as well as when I am unable to be there, if I have a service need, I have a delivery, or there's work being done in the house. This scripture that I just read to you, Matthew 16 and 19, the scripture verses contain some words that really stand out. First one is keys of kingdom of heaven, bind, loose, loosed, bound, give, whatsoever. What is the definition of key? Merriam-Webster says, one, a means of gaining or preventing entrance, possession, or control. Something that gives an explanation or identification or provides a solution. Three, extremely or crucially important, like a principle, something to drive in, home. And four, to be essential to. Wikipedia says a key is a device that is used to operate a lock, such as to lock or unlock it. A typical key is a small piece of metal consisting of two parts, the blade, which slides into the keyway of the lock and distinguishes between different keys, and the bow, which is left protruding so that torque, our strength or our power, can be applied by the user. You know, you turn or unlock. There are types of keys, house and home, vehicles, work, our badges. There's a code in there, door key, there's a code in that, a keyless entry, there's a code in that. The remote, OnStar, had a car that I did lock my car. It had OnStar, and OnStar unlocked the car for me. There's a code in there. Computer keys for software. It's a sequence of alphanumeric characters. A code. There are safes that have types of keys. There's passwords that we're all familiar with for work, for our emails and so forth. There's access to electronic documents and charts and so forth. Financial institutions with your own personal mortgages and various accounts. There are sensors. The door is open when you walk up, as it is determined by your proximity. There's wireless cars. Some of you have those wireless, they call them FOBs, that you don't have to put the key into the ignition. It's just an item that you carry with you, but it unlocks the car and allows you to access the drive. And then finally, extremely or crucially important, it's a point we're going to drive home in, not physically, but just a point. Metal keys that we are most familiar with have been in existence for thousands of years, dating back to ancient Babylon and Egypt. In the 1860s, the keys were made flat by Linus Yale. You may have noticed the name Yale on your key. Keys give us authority and power, and in some cases, ownership. The first house I bought was a home for me and my son. After I paid the down payment and signed the contract, the seller gave me the keys to our new home. Those keys gave me access to enter the home 24/7, 365 or 366 days of the year. When we left that home, I rented it and have rented it to several different families. After the lease agreement was signed, I gave them the key to the house. But I still had the original or master key. They had access 24/7, 365, 366 days a year for as long as they complied with the contract. But I had access also because I possessed the master key and I was the owner. And with my authority, I changed the key each time a new renter entered and on occasion had to provide a duplicate key because the renter lost their key. If I wanted, I could have entered and rearranged furniture, cleaned and trashed the house as the owner, but I didn't because I relied on them to maintain the property as they agreed. And there is a message in that. When a renter left, I had the job and responsibility of cleaning and repairing the house to place another renter. My point, as a renter, no matter how long you live there or how much money you pay or invest, you never have ownership or full access because someone else owns it and tells you what to do. You have no control. What am I talking about? We are a spirit living in a clay house, our body, that does not belong to us. We lease this property in this territory or kingdom called the earth. We are citizens of heaven. The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We have been bought at an enormous price that could only be purchased by Jesus Christ with his life. We were sent here for a purpose to fulfill a kingdom assignment. To share the good news of Jesus Christ. It comes with a price tag, your life. But it doesn't equate to the one who paid the ultimate price for us. In coming to the territory of earth, we were given a key, the ability to make a choice. Some choose to keep the skeleton key that initially looks to bring bright delight and happiness and when presented with a better life in Jesus Christ, decide to keep the key of deception, separation, imprisonment, and death. Some hear about a wonderful life-changing experience of deliverance and love and how this opportunity became available and choose the key of life, Jesus Christ, the extremely and crucially important way of life. The opportunity to choose life and accept Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior brings you into an inheritance into the kingdom of God. You are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And because you recognize who Christ is, the Son of the living God, like Peter, Jesus gives you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. These keys give you more than access as one who rents. You are given authority. The person who rents has to eventually relinquish the key or lose access. You can give up the keys of authority and go into slavery with the devil. Why would you do that? Just be careful not to misuse your authority by misleading God's people. What does the key symbolize? Authority. A tool for closing, privacy, and security, power. A tool for opening, for access, for releasing. And Matthew 16, 19 says it's binding and loosing. How does the key work? When the right key slides into a pin and tumbler lock, and pointed teeth and notches on the blade of the key allow the spring-loaded pins to move up and down until they line up with a track called the shear line. The shear line is a count of possible arrangements of components that allow the lock to be opened. That is why you have different keys. One key doesn't work for every door unless the lock is keyed or coded or arranged for the same key. Some of us have one key that will open every door in our houses. That's been coded that way. So it is with prayer. Prayer is a key. We have different prayers for different specific situations. That one prayer is not going to take you through every situation. It will not do it. There are no spare keys like I have dispersed to my family for my house. Spiritually, when the right key or principle, scripture, prayer, spoken by you, slides into a problem, an attack of the enemy, sickness, disease, betrayal, financial distress, worry, anxiety, here's your key. Satan, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. I submit myself to God. Devil, I resist you. Now get out of here. Father, your word says, be anxious for nothing. I will put my trust in you. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Nothing shall come nigh me. You have given angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. You are my shield and buckler. You will protect me. You are my provider. You will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Lord, you are my counselor. I am leaning on you. I lift my eyes to the hills where my help comes from. I'm not sure. I don't understand, Lord, but I will trust in you, Lord, with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge you, and I know you will direct my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A cheerful heart is good medicine, and I find joy in you. You are the joy of my salvation. I shall live and not die. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Lord, you are welcome into my situation. You are my shepherd. You said they shall have no God before you, and I have placed a God. If I have placed a God before you, I ask that you forgive me, Lord. Lord, you are holy. There is none one else, no one else like you. I'm getting older. My memory is short. My hair is graying. How will I live? Lord, your word says, and even to my old age, you are I am. And even to my gray hairs, you will carry me. You have made and will bear, even carry and deliver me. Thank you. I have the mind of Christ, and the Holy Spirit will teach me and bring all things to my remembrance. I am renewed like the eagle. I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, the school and the doctor say that my child has a learning disability, but God, teach me thy statutes that I may serve you. There is nothing too hard for you. They say that my child cannot learn and needs medication, but whose report will I believe? I believe the report of the Lord. You gave me this child. She is the apple of your eye. She is chosen by you. I take authority as her parent, and because of the power you gave me with the keys of the kingdom, I bind the demonic spirit of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and loose my child from active captivity of these demons and propel her into the destiny you have for her as a royal priesthood of your kingdom, special in your own possession, that you called out of darkness into your marvelous light with clarity of mind in the mighty name of Jesus. Those words, those promises, you spoke along with faith. Praise and worship set supernatural access into motion. So now let's look at this by paralleling the spiritual and the physical sections of the key. Prayer is the key. We're all familiar with keys. We all have keys. We know how they're made, okay? This is the blade of the key that goes into the lock. And remember, this is the part here that we hold on that has that torque, allows us to turn it, okay? So prayer is the key. The pen and the tumbler lock is a problem that we present, that's come into our lives, or a life crisis. And sometimes, you know, Pastor reminds us that we don't have to go to God with a problem. We just need to go with some gratitude. So I can take my prayer key and just go in and say, thank you, God. Prayer, the blade of the key, slides into the problem, the life crisis or gratitude. The words are the pointed teeth and notches on the blade. This allows heaven to strategize the spring-loaded pins and move up and down, getting in alignment with you, the track or shearing line, as you pray the word of God with authority. When the supernatural alignment occurs at the shear line, which is the aligning track, you and heaven are together. The cylinder turns to unlock. Guess who the cylinder is? The Holy Spirit. Because he is praying with you, turns the lock and opens it. Your faith unlocks. Heaven has already responded. Let's confirm this action with Matthew 16:9b, the latter part of that scripture. Whatsoever, and the word is defined with, used to emphasize a lack of restriction in referring to anything or amount, no matter what. So whatever, whatever's there, whatever comes up, says, whatsoever you bind, and when you bind something, you fasten it together. You secure it. On earth will be bound. And bound is the past tense of bind. In heaven, it's already done. As we said, something happened. It has already happened. And whatsoever you loose, whatever you release, you set free on earth will be loosed, set free, past tense of loose, in heaven. It has already happened. Action takes place in the spiritual realm before it happens in the physical. Heaven's just waiting for you. Pastor Ronnie even teaches us that our blessing is waiting for us and tells us to get in position that is hovering over us. Amen? So, we have to recognize what we possess. There's a lot of supernatural activity taking place when we use our key of prayer for spiritual authority. When we are in alignment with the kingdom of God, the angels battle for you against demonic forces, traps set against you, opening doors, allowing a way of escape, then shutting the door. Daniel speaks about fasting and praying for 21 days, and Michael the archangel told Daniel that your prayer was heard the first day you began, but it was held up due to fighting with the prince of Persia, Satan. In Revelation 3:7, and to the church, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and closeth and no man openeth. That's Jesus. Revelation 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. You know who that was? Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the enemy. So Satan has a key to the bottomless pit. He doesn't have a key to anything else. Nothing else to that pit. Unless you give him your key. Or just don't use your key that Jesus has given each of us. Authority and access should be given. And in the case of the kingdom of God, it is given. That is what Christ did with Peter, the disciples, for the church at large. Some people have authority illegally by taking it and giving others access. Let's say like the devil. He does that. We know that he was given the key of the bottomless pit. One key, not keys, not a plural. One key. But he has stolen keys from us, and we have given them to him. What do you mean? How is that possible? What have you said casually or purposely lately in response to some event in your life or to someone in your life? I'm losing my mind. Oh, I'm going to give you this key. I lost my mind. Okay, so I gave that key away. Can't remember that. Oh, give this key away. Got to be careful what you speak. You speak life and death. You give away your authority. You'll never be anything. You're worthless. Oh, I'm going to take your key because you're worthless. So I'm just going to take that from you. Someone said that about you and gave your key away. A couple of things occur. The words begin to swirl in the atmosphere when we speak them out to create what you or someone just spoke. Recognize what just occurred and use your key to kill it. Otherwise, a key is snatched from you by the enemy and you are locked away. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to lock us away. He wants to put us away in lifetime incarceration. We don't want life like that. What I have learned is that when you experience these moments, the Holy Spirit is speaking to get your attention. But we don't recognize him because of all the other things that are going on. Jesus says, I will open doors and I will shut doors. Revelation 20:1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Remember, only God can open something that is shut. Even though Satan was given the key to the bottomless pit, God had the master key. Satan's key has an expiration date on it. It doesn't have Yale, as our keys are marked by the one who designed the key. No, it has the letters F-E-I-H for eternity in hell. The angel that came down with the master key and chains was on assignment from heaven to lock hell and Satan, that old serpent, and bind him 1,000 years, shut him up and set a seal upon him. You know how you seal something and that settles it, that wraps it up, that closes the deal, that shuts it up until the seal is broken. In this case, the only person to break the seal or has the authority to break the seal is the owner of the master key, and that is Jesus Christ. That's in Revelation 20. Glory to God. Okay, activate your key. I stand now in the midst of heaven at the throne of God, declaring the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. With the authority given to me by Jesus Christ, I intercede on behalf of my family, and I, with my war clothes on, aligning with the angelic host, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them we shall cast down in the name of Jesus. As I stand in alignment with heaven to bind demonic spirits of depression, lying, deceit, hate, abuse, neglect, jealousy, manipulation, sickness, fear, anger, murder, confusion, abortion, extortion, familiarity, isolation, sleeplessness, I loose this person from captivity into truth, joy, peace, love, righteousness in the name of Jesus. What we see in the physical has already occurred in the spiritual. That's why prayer is vitally important. Prayer is a key. Keys are given. We receive the key, which gives us authority and permission to access, the power to drive, enter, and lock. Some of us still possess keys from past relationships, past hurt, former home, a previous car, past job, a school locker, even a school locker. Look at all these keys that we accumulate over time. You wouldn't know what a key goes to. You'd have to go all around every door to try to see if you can get access. But we hold on to keys. I don't know why. Maybe I'm going to get that car back. Maybe I'm going to go back to that house or go back to that job. Whatever the reason is, this is what we're left with, all these keys. And then when something happens, we don't have the ability to go quickly and access whatever it is that we need to open, because it's all tangled in here with all these extra keys. How are we supposed to be having power and authority over the enemy when we place all of our keys into one receptacle over here to hold it? But we want to have power. We want to see things happen. But here are our keys. They need to be accessible, not in a package put away in a key drawer, because I've had a key drawer before. So look at those keys that I just raised up to you to see how they accumulate over time. Do you know which key will unlock that school locker? Is the school still there? Do you think they only had one key to the locker and that was the one they gave you, and everything you left there is still in it? What lock will this key open? For a key to matters of life and heart, God says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. The word of God is a key. That's what we should be using. Have you ever lost or misplaced a key? That isn't a good feeling. You just had it. How did it disappear? I look for it in my purse. Now, I know I just put that key in my purse. I dumped the purse out, and still no key. Hours later, where is that key? In my purse. I don't know how that happened, but it was in my purse all the time. Sometimes we leave them on top of the car, left them at someone's home, left them in the pocket of a different jacket or a different pair of pants. How do you feel? What do you do? Do you feel powerless? Do you feel helpless? How do you feel? You immediately began to search for the key, but now you're late for work or an appointment, or maybe the alarm is sounding because you entered the wrong security code. Or for some simple unknown reason at the moment, you just couldn't remember the code. Do you become frantic, anxious, disgusted? There is nothing you can do until you regain possession of the key. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, who has given us the keys of the kingdom, we cannot afford to lose our keys. Why? Our lives depend on it, and the lives of others rely on it. During one of my visits with my son and his family, when they lived in Texas, I rode with Ahmed to the airport. so that I could drive the car back to Shantae because they only had one vehicle at the time. I had a special ringtone for Ahmed and Shantae on my phone. Ahmed gets out of the car. He's got his bag. He walks into the airport. I switch out of the passenger side, get over to the driver's seat. Adjust the seat, put the seatbelt on, and I pull off because I had somewhere I was going to go, okay, before I went to the house. I hear a sound, but couldn't determine where it was coming from. I heard it several times, and eventually it stopped. I did notice on that there was a light on the dashboard, but I ignored it. It wasn't my car. I wasn't familiar with it. So I'm navigating well, driving like I live there, leaving the airport and now on the highway. I have plans to stop at the store, get some things, and I need to fill up their tank. I was going to cover their gas. I hear a sound again and realize it's my phone, the ringtone that I have for Ahmed and Shantae, so I could identify that they were calling me that I didn't recognize before. Okay. So I answer, and it's Shantae. She says, "Miss Glenda, where are you?" I tell her I'm on the highway. They're like my parents, so I get convicted many times. So I tell her exactly where I'm passing on the highway, the exact location. I don't know why, but I do. Ooh-wee. So I'm just proud I could, you know, navigate through the town. So she then says, "Whatever you do, do not turn the ignition off. Ahmed has been trying to call you to tell you that he has the key to the car. He had one of those wireless keys." She said, "He's getting on the plane now, and he can't leave the key for you to come pick it up. So you need to come straight home." Now, I realized that there was a chime tone that I heard along with this special ringtone that I had for Ahmed. But I dismissed all of that. Okay, so it was alarming, you know, that there was a wireless key, and it wasn't near the car. Okay. I said, okay, and thought, I can't go to the store. Sad face, but the car needed some gas, and I did need to get gas, so I stopped at the gas station and left the engine running while I filled the tank. So when I returned to the car, when I returned the car to Shantae, I was very apologetic. We couldn't go anywhere. That was the reason for me going with Ahmed to bring the car back. So we couldn't go anywhere until Ahmed returned, and he had to have a lift bring him from the airport home, thanks to Mom. Here's my point. The car didn't require a key in the ignition or the wireless key as long as it was running. But when the engine is stopped, the key is needed if I'm going to restart. You say, "Glenda, you drove the car a long distance from the wireless key." And I reply, "Yes, I did." This car will run without its wireless FOB being in or near the car until you turn it off. Once it is turned off, you cannot start without the wireless key. I know I'm repeating that. Some of us are like that true scenario, in that you receive the keys of the kingdom of heaven and take off with plans and drive with excitement and purpose, but forgot to take the wireless key of connection that Jesus gave you. Sure, you stop at church on occasion and read the Bible once or twice and refuel, but eventually a test or trial will come in your path and you will need to stop and turn it off. Or you just run out of gas. And when you do, you will not be able to start again without possession of your keys of prayer and faith. Aside from the car, some of us, as a result of pain in our life, are in captivity, behind bars, Perhaps you feel safe there because you control the access. We can take a key and lock ourselves away from interacting with people, with ourselves, and God. How is that, you say? Using keys of man's kingdom with carnal thinking. I can do it myself. It's taking God too long. There is no God. If you want to get ahead and be prosperous, you have to do it yourself or get to know the right people, believing lies from the devil when he gives you a master key that is not the authentic keys from God. They're fake. Because you know he's a deceiver. They access the keys that he gives you that are fake. They access nothing but guilt, shame, worry, doubt, and sin. Could you show the first slide, please? Look at this cell. This is where someone lives daily. Yes, those who are incarcerated are in prison in a physical cell. But I'm talking about a spiritual cell, an area of self-confinement or spiritual confinement to prevent purpose. The door of the prison is open, but we live as if it's closed. Next slide. That's how we live, in that cell, as if we have no access to get out. Next slide, please. So look at this cell. He's smiling. He's been there so long that he believes that this is the best he can have. That's true. That's true. Next slide, please. Look at this cell. We are given the key, but we either reject it, we decline it, hold on to it, or use it for freedom. One or the other. Next slide, please. Now look at this cell. This is a really fine-looking man. The picture doesn't really, you can't see it very well, but he's got a suit on. Tie, businessman, got it all together. He doesn't realize that key is in the door. Or he may even be aware that it's in the door. He comes and goes every day. He opens it. He goes out, do what he needs to do. Nobody ever knows what's happening in his life. He's in prison, going to A.G. Edwards, going to whatever place it may be. And then he comes back, turns the key, unlocks it, comes in, closes the door, and he stays there for the night. Some people are like that. We've got this look about us that everything's okay. Sometimes we do that because people hurt us if we do say what's happening. Or we've been hurt, so we just prefer to just, I'm okay. All is well. Praise God. Praise God. How you doing? Praise the Lord. All is well. And things are not well. That's how we live. Like that. Some open the door with the key and lock the door with the key. They don't realize the door. The key is in the door and they can access it at any time. I have been repeating a prayer for a long time and not seeing any results. No revelation. I was getting discouraged, feeling stuck, seemingly no direction. I needed to hear from God. So one evening I fell asleep on the sofa. I don't know how long I had been sleeping, but woke up from a dream that was so real and vivid as though it happened right there in my living room. It was the actualization of the event that made me doubt that it was a dream, but real. I thought I was awake. And later I realized it was a dream. So I'm sleeping on the sofa and someone placed keys in my pocket. It was the jingle and placement of the keys in my pocket that woke me up. That was the real part of it. That's why I felt I had to have been awake. I couldn't have been asleep. But that's how I was brought out of that. I prayed for revelation of the dream. God revealed that I had the keys all the time. So this prayer I had been praying over and over. He was probably like, Glenda, how long are you going to do this? But over and over. So he revealed to me that the keys, I had them all the time. So the jingle in my pocket was to remind me, you got them, girl. You got the keys. But I wasn't aware of them, and I wasn't using them. This related to my repeated prayers, feeling stuck, without direction, feeling powerless, and frustrated spiritually because I wasn't using my keys. And that's what happens to us. We have some type of experience in our lives that we are praying and we feel that there's no breakthrough. We need to check and see where we are, where our keys are. What is our prayer about? Because the Word of God says that we can pray wrongly. We can pray amiss. And sometimes you need to tap in to those who have a larger key ring, and they got multiple accesses. So we have to realize that we need to join in with other saints so we can get this breakthrough happening. The keys represent God's delegated authority to Peter and the church by these keys. This is what we're supposed to do with our keys. It's not limited to this, but here's the primary. Rebuke sin and carry out church discipline. Pray effectively for God's cause on earth. Bind the demonic and loose the captives. Announce the guilt of sin, God's standard of righteousness, and the judgment to come. And proclaim salvation and the forgiveness of sin for all who repent and believe in Christ. As I close, remember this key principle, that God has given us authority. We may mess up because we are dual citizens of both heaven and earth. The earth territory brings about temptation and sin. But know this, that you still have the keys unless you give them up. And that's where Satan comes at us. Because you messed up, he wants you to think you don't have power anymore. And then we keep thinking it over and over, and he keeps bringing it to us. And then we give in and say, I don't have it. I can't think like you can. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't know how to solve that problem. I can't go to school. I can't do it. You did it. I can't do that. We become all these negative things. Because he has tricked us to make us think that we gave up the keys just because we fell off. So the keys may also be tarnished or dusty or mixed in with other keys, but they are still available. Remember that. They're still available. So get this. Our authority is recognized by the devil. Keep in your mind these realms. There's a spiritual, the unseen side, and a natural, the seen side that all of us see here with these physical eyes. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, heaven, the angels, and Satan and his group of angels are in the unseen spiritual realm. And in this body on earth, we are in the seen or the natural physical realm. So the enemy comes, he's spiritual, he's in the spiritual arena, but he finds a body that he can possess, that he can manipulate, that he can get you to think about things in a different way. He can get you to commit a sin, such horrendous sins as murder, child abuse, abuse to a male or a female, whatever the case may be, that's demonic activity there. Now, some things we entertain on our own and we step out. He said, I didn't do that. Now, I may have popped in a little thought, but I didn't take it to that degree. So he's not going to take responsibility for some things we do. He's like, yeah, I did drop that, but I'm going to somebody else. Why are they acting like that? Things happen in the spiritual realm before they happen in the natural. That's why it's important for us to be praying all the time. Even back to Abraham, when he was told how large his family was going to be. He's praying for us. I know my mom and even my dad still alive now have prayed for us and my siblings and I and our generation. My grandparents did the same thing. So you've got generations past in history that have prayed already for us and your children and your seed yet to come. That's what we should be doing. Because we need it to happen. We know it's going to happen in the spirit. So we gotta counter that. We got to get to praying so we can prevent that from happening and manifesting itself in the spirit. You follow what I'm saying? We got to get active. We cannot be dormant. We cannot lay aside and let things just happen. And we react. That's what we begin to do. We are reacting. But God has given us the keys of authority that we can speak the word of God on behalf of our people, whether it be family, friends, co-workers, whomever it is, so we can speak a word into the atmosphere on their behalf and counter the activity of the enemy, who only wants to take them out. He wants to kill them. He wants to take them out and not give them an opportunity. Satan doesn't like us because we look like our father. And he is aware that we have spiritual authority. Jesus said to Peter, and upon this rock, because you, Peter, you who know who I am, it was revealed to you by my Father, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you, and so you, each one of us in here, need to make it personal. God will give to me the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So we look like God, and the devil sends demons to attack us because we look like our Father. Isn't that interesting? I know that I look like my dad. I got height like my mom. We used to kid with Tanya because she was the lightest, light-skinned one in the family. She was adopted. That's what we said. And it was a joke, and she's so sweet and takes that and just laughs with us. But she looks like my mom. So there is resemblance somewhere in the family, even if the kids look a little different. There's still that same DNA. There's still that same gene that's there. There's something that's going to identify them with a parent. And Daddy used to say that all of y'all look just like me. You're my kids. And he's identifying that. You look like me. He'll make sure you didn't come from nowhere else. Yeah. He could joke, but you know, sometimes you want to do that. You just want to be sure that that's what's going on. So Satan knows us, and we need to recognize that he knows us and not cower down. Not cower down. So when he comes, we should stand with authority to say, I am a child of God. And I can smile and say that. I don't have to say, I'm a child of God. I've been taking some boxing classes, y'all. There may be times when I do need to pull him up because he's getting ready to throw something at me. But otherwise, I can stand there and say, I'm a child of God. And this is what I can do. And it's not me alone. Because do you see the angel standing behind me? Because there's authority that's going with me. So I'm not going on my own. I've got an army with me. And so he'll see that. Not only do I look like my father, but I have army of protection. Because he said he'd give his angels charge over me to keep me in all of my ways. So activate your keys. You possess the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What does of mean? Expressing the relationship between a part and of whole, W-H-O-L-E. The keys are a part of the whole kingdom of heaven. When we all use our keys as a part of the whole kingdom, what do you think will happen? If every one of us take the keys that God has given us and we all put it in and we turn it, you talk about a powerful move, expression, experience of God. Deliverance, healing. Kingdom is a territory. When we then, as believers in Christ, have a key or a part of the whole kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God or an extremely crucial, important part of the whole kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." God doesn't want us to get distracted with meat, the substance of things that have no value to spiritual matters. In the earlier parts of that chapter that I read in the prior chapter in 15, that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing. They were all about physical adherence to the law. Sticking to the law, that's what it was. But they were not sticking to the law themselves because Jesus checked them on that. They were interesting to me. I see them as groupies. They were following him everywhere. They were trying to accuse him and discredit him, but they were always where he was. You're trying to talk about him and ask these crazy questions, but you're following him wherever you go. You see everything he's doing. But when they were asking the questions and making these comments, they didn't realize that they were advancing his ministry because people then were coming and they were being healed and delivered. And they still standing over there. Well, why do your disciples wash their hands? Why don't they wash their hands before they eat food? Jesus said, Father, you hear that? He said, so do you listen? Do you honor your mother and your father? So then he has to go and check them. He doesn't even answer them directly. And they don't even care. They're going to come back with something else later. Well, can you show us a sign? There's always something there with the Pharisees. So that's what they were doing. It was all about physical adherence to the law. They were not spiritually minded, not at all. They were irritated because the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. They tested Jesus. They wanted him to show a sign. In this case, the key, extremely crucial, that they see was Jesus. That was the sign. That's the key, and they weren't seeing that. So keys unlock, open. Close, lock, secure, access, turn on, turn off, shut down, unleash, permit, allow something or someone to enter or exit, power on, power off, bind, loose. Bind is an act of fastening, securing, uniting, to fasten or secure with a band or bond. Loose, to set free. Are you tired of daily drama? Do you want to see the power of God in your life and in the lives of others? You can do one or all of the following. One, repent of your sins, turn to God, and ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, with teaching through the church body to learn how to use the keys. Two, repent of your sins, turn back to God, and reconnect with your Heavenly Father. He will restore you and reactivate.